Why is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I slept for about 12 and a half hours last night.
That's crazy.
I woke up this morning and like in that, what's the opposite of twilight haze? Whatever that is.
I don't know. Death haze.
Right. I was lying there and there was sun coming through the shade. And I was like, it had this weird thing where I'm like, oh, it's probably like 8 o'clock, maybe something like that. And then in my mind, looked at my phone and it was like 4:30.
Okay.
Zero surprise in my like reaction was like, well, it's 4:30 p.m. Okay, cool. Like, did not matter. I was just like, I you could tell me wherever I am, you could tell me I was there. Like, I did not care. I woke up and I'm just
That's
like,
awesome.
I feel better. I locked the cat out of the room. So
that's sad.
Well, he woke up one of the children instead, so he got his day off to a great start. Oh. But oh my goodness.
Good.
I feel like a new person.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with a new person.
I don't know. I mean,
if you're not like curmudgeon-y and crotchety and
oh no, that's coming back.
Oh, okay.
This is Why with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poling.
Now, this wasn't like a Christmas Carol kind of thing where I...
Okay. I just want to make sure. I figure if it was, I would certainly visit you as a ghost. I would Jacob Marley you all the way.
Right. No, I did not throw my debit card at a child out on the street and tell him to go buy the fattest goose he can find. There was none of that.
That's good. I feel if I was Jacob Marley, though, I think I would change my look. Like, there would still be chains, but right. I think I'd go, like, enthrall, kind of dominatrix Jacob Marley.
Okay, right. But that's, I mean, it is weird that he's wearing the same clothes he wore to work every day.
But he was a very tragic man.
I know, but just hygienically speaking.
Well, who knows? Maybe I wear those to work every day. I mean, I could. We talked to enough people.
No, but I'm just saying, like, your traditional Jacob Marley was always in the same, like, his work, like, I don't know.
Was Goofy in his work clothes?
I believe he was, yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember if he had, like, robes. Maybe
Tell me what casual Goofy looks like in your mind.
No, but Goofy?
No, please,
Jacob
tell me.
Marley is my favorite.
I am more of a Statler and Waldorf, Jacob Marley.
No, I love Statler and Waldorf. Do not get me wrong. Clearly, they are, in some ways, our spirit animals. But right. I don't know. It's not that Mickey's Christmas Carol is my favorite. It's not. But I really like goofy Jacob Marley.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it, too. And I feel like that one, I believe I had the record as well. So
I
like
did,
that,
too. And I had the Tinkerbell book.
I probably had that, too. But, like, it. That text is ingrained on my memory, in which if you started playing it, I'd be like, oh, no, I heard this yesterday.
Right. Most of those records are.
Oh, definitely.
The Davy Crockett one is for me.
Oh, I don't know if I've heard that one.
I loved it at the time.
I thought
Fess Parker was hot.
This tracks 100%. And,
and I have to go through all my, I have to find a VHS player first, but all of my Dean Martin Variety Hour that Uncle Mark saved for me when my grandma died.
Just keep going.
Don't know how much I love that show. There's an episode with Fess Parker that's hilarious. I have to find it.
This is both the most surprisingly unsurprising thing about you. I just imagine at 8, sitting down Saturday morning as everyone's still asleep in the house. And putting on your Dean Martin celebrity roasts.
I don't watch the roast. I watch the Variety Hour.
Oh, the Variety Hour. And you're just very fancy. You're in like a pink robe. You've made your own like hot chocolate that you're drinking out of the like coffee cups.
Of course.
Because you want it to look sophisticated
and
professional. Even
I'm sure I had a tiara on or a Wonder Woman crown.
Yes,
exactly. Probably cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think I channeled all of my dreams in one fell swoop. I'm sure I have photos looking exactly like that.
And if your mother's listening, I'm good, but thank you for your concern.
Oh, she'll send them to you.
Yes, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. None of this surprises me in the least.
I know, but it is the greatest show.
I don't know.
Why isn't it on Pluto? Everything's on Pluto.
This is true. I got 10 minutes into showing the children the premiere pilot episode of Murder, She Wrote before my wife was just like, I can't. Please stop.
They're old enough.
Oh, I don't think it was that. I think it was
just, she's like, I just can't relive these years.
Yes, because I read something somewhere. It was an obit for a writer on Hawaii Five-O, and I've had it in my craw as of late. I really want to watch Hawaii Five-O again.
Oh, yeah, the original.
Because I knew when I watched it back then, I had zero idea of what was going on.
Right.
Jack Lord was just Jack Lord. I mean, what's, right. And so I was like, I wonder what that's like now if I watch the and follow the plot. I'm just like, this is so stupid, which it probably is. But
it is. Columbo's good, though.
This is what I've heard. I keep meaning because people in the pandemic were saying Columbo is there, end of the night, everything's going to be okay. One more question. And
yeah,
we were good.
Columbo's good. I mean, I still love all of them because I mean, heart to heart, I would watch any day of the
week. I really want to watch Moonlighting.
Oh, that's my favorite. I watch it all the time. The second it came on, don't you remember? It was my whole world changed the day it came back.
There's a lot of days that your whole world changes. I can't keep them all straight.
This is why I can hate Christmas, because every day of the year is Christmas for me. Right. It's a surprise and delight, no matter what. Yeah. Oh, the world's ending. Surprise.
Wait, it's Tuesday? I didn't miss it?
Yes.
Boy.
I always say Dave's a Labradoodle with me. No, I'm I'm a Shih Tzu, I think. Mm. Or a Terrier. I might be a Cairn Terrier.
You're Warren is what you are.
I am Warren. I'm totally Warren. I will take that any day. Perfectly happy to be Warren.
There's a box I can sit in. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this is comfortable. I'll go to sleep now.
Yes. Well, except I don't sleep. I'll be like, oh, I think I'll play.
Well, but then... But you would have that Warren thing of sleeping in intervals. And then
yes, this is true. Cat naps. I do cat nap. Yeah,
exactly.
Also known as a disco nap, which I also do.
How did they come up with that name? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't even remember you need to go back to Moonlighting, because Moonlighting is the greatest show ever. I had a whole, this is where I'll come back to you, because I had a whole plan that I pitched to my parents as to why I needed a TV in my room so that I could watch Moonlighting when we were in England. So, and I won, but it's the best show and everything about it. And my fellow Oakland University alum and your fellow Secret Society member,
Curtis Armstrong,
Herbert Viola on Moonlighting. Yes. It's fantastic on it.
Secret Society. I'm not in Skull and Bones. I mean,
not yet.
Yeah, they haven't. I haven't gotten that invite.
Right. And it just, and Bruce was, they were like such, they were both just sexy.
It's interesting. I think we've talked about this, read this book about the history of action movies and sort of where modern day action movies starting with Sylvester Stallone. And I guess they put Rocky in there, but then you've got the Conan films and all of that. But there's obviously a whole section on Die Hard, and the fact that nobody thought he could carry that movie is, in retrospect, mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
And then, because originally they had to offer the part to Frank Sinatra.
Which, that's insane.
Because he owned the rights to it.
Also insane.
Also insane. It's just it's one of those stories where it's there's no way this movie should be good.
Right.
You know, it's the Casablanca thing of no way this is going to turn out decent.
And yet it does.
And yet every year we're throwing Hans Gruber off the top of Nakatomi.
Every year, and people are still arguing over whether or not it's a Christmas movie.
What came first? The naked or the gardening?
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Well, actually, the naked came first.
That's a good point. I guess for everybody it did.
I feel like for everyone. Good question, Luke.
And I guess I just want to kind of clarify a couple of points about World Naked Gardening Day. Mm-hmm. The first is that the common narrative is that it was started here in America. Actually, that's not the case, at least from my perspective. It has been commercially initiated here in America, but that's not really where it started. The first Naked Gardening Day actually occurred in 2003 at Abbey House Gardens in England. Mm-hmm. Ian and Barbara Pollard, who are naturists, bought the Abbey House Gardens in 1994, which was kind of a rundown old Benedictine abbey. And they were gardeners. They were huge gardeners. And they, in the process of doing their gardening, they worked nude because they had an isolated property. And the BBC filmed them in, I think, 2000 or 2001. And it was a very popular show. And in 2003, they decided to open Abbey House Gardens to the public for the first time. And that was the first, as far as I'm concerned, that was the first real public demonstration of Naked Gardening Day. Okay. And they didn't call it World Naked Gardening Day. They just opened Abbey House Gardens to the public. And the public by then had heard about it and wanted to participate with them in naked gardening. It was very successful. And these folks over the pond have continued that tradition ever since then. Although Abbey House Gardens subsequently was sold, unfortunately, Ian and Barbara got divorced and, you know, things happened to kind of move that away from Abbey House Gardens. But the origination of naked gardening, as far as I'm concerned, occurred in 2003. Then in 2005, and actually I was on the board of the Naturist Action Committee back when that happened, and we had heard about it, and we wanted to do something with it. And Mark Story and his partner really took the ball and ran with it and made it the commercial, sort of highly visible holiday, or, you know, naked holiday that we know it as today, is the World Naked Gardening Day. And that occurred in 2005. And since then, of course, its fame has grown. It's a very popular day for a number of reasons. Although those of us in Michigan, and frankly, most of us north of the Mason-Dixon line, aren't very supportive of the current date.
Yeah, it's not great for us.
It's a terrible. and this is one of the reasons why I refer back to Barbara and Ian Pollard in England, because in England, the first Saturday in May is sometimes pretty nice.
Right.
Their climate is different than ours. And so they have a legitimate potential reason for thinking it's a nice day to garden.
Certainly optimistic. You got to give them that.
Well, plus they're always used to a bit of a chill there. So, you know, it's all we're in Michigan. We get tempted with beautiful days. They just get, you know, milder, but not our extremes.
Well, just to give you some perspective on this, Michigan is in zone 7 of the gardening world. And I've taken the master gardening class, and I can tell you that we've been advised not to plant vegetables or anything outside until Memorial Day, which is May 31st.
Right.
because we can have a hard frost up until that date.
Oh, yes. So
that'll give you an idea of how far away. And frankly, Wisconsin and Minnesota and else in the north is from you know, the first Saturday in May. It's simply not often a good day to be outside nude, because it's rarely 70 to 75 degrees, which is when a lot of us at least like it to be warm enough to be naked.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of background on World Naked Gardening Day, kind of how it came about, where it is now, and kind of one of the issues that I believe is facing the holiday is that we could simply get a lot more participation if we moved it back to the first Saturday in June or, you know, some other date. I'm not married to any date, but I'm very unmarried to the date we've got right now. I think it's far from optimal.
Yeah,
I agree. I feel like October. We have really, my birthday's in October, and we have great weather here in Michigan in October.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be lovely.
October is often very mild. And what's your birthday, Heidi? If I can ask,
it's the 22nd.
Oh, mine's the 18th.
See, we have so much in common.
So much,
absolutely.
I love it. I love it.
So anyway, World Naked Gardening Day is just a wonderful event. I mean, it immediately attracted, and of course, if you know much about the English culture, the English love gardening. I mean, it's just a huge thing over there. Of course, we do too, but in England, it's just one of the major cultural pursuits, and so it immediately gravitated to the naturists in England, of which there are many, and it became a very, very strong kind of concept. I believe that one of the reasons it's so strong, I've been a naturist for many, many years, and I'm on the board of two naturist organizations. And one of the key elements of what makes, I think, Naked Gardening Day so compelling is the fact that fundamentally, naturism is about our getting back to nature, getting back to our roots. And there's really not much better way to do that than kneeling in a garden, you know, digging in the dirt, planting plants, and celebrating the life that comes about at the beginning of the season. And as a naturist, that's my passion with naturism, is being outdoors in nature, swimming, hiking, doing all the things you do. And gardening is just one of those central fundamental tenets, in my mind, of connecting with nature. And so I think it's a wonderful marriage between naturism and gardening. And for those that haven't tried it, I strongly encourage you to do so, especially if it's warm enough out.
Well, it's literally getting to the root, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And it seems like such a low bar of entry for folks who are intrigued and want to give naturism a shot. It's not like, you know, there's the World Naked, the bike ride, there is Go Topless. It's all these other things that sort of require you to go somewhere and do something. And all, you know, World Naked Gardening requires is just step outside your house and reconnect with the land and your own land or your environment.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. It's almost anybody can plant a tomato plant in even if it's a container garden on the balcony of your apartment building, you know, as long as you have some amount of privacy. And, you know, those of us in the Naturist Action Committee, that's one of the boards I'm on, you know, we're working to try and make it so that you should be able to do things like garden in your backyard without offending the authorities or your next door neighbor, because naked gardening is certainly not indecent or lewd. It's simply doing something that you do anyway, just clothes free. And part of our initiative, part of our mission is to expand the abilities of people to live clothes free, whether it's gardening, swimming, hiking in the woods, and so forth, because there's really nothing indecent or lewd about any of those activities. And that's one of our charges. And it's tough in this culture, but it's one of the things we're working on. And World Naked Gardening Day is a great way to demonstrate how innocent and natural gardening in the nude is. And that's one of the things. So we're very supportive of it. And when the Naturist Education Foundation meets, which is the other board I'm on, that's one of our, you know, sort of issues that we want to talk about, how we're going to further promote, publicize, and bring to the mainstream the issue of World Naked Gardening Day.
Plus, it's better for, think of how much less washing detergent you use. Mm-hmm. Think of how much less water you run doing laundry. Think of how many less clothes you have to throw away because you were in the mud or in the woods, also in the mud. So it's good for multiple reasons. Good for the environment.
Absolutely. And
the soul.
And just the sort of connection between your skin and the ground when you're digging the ground and the feeling of the dirt and so forth. It's just a wonderfully tactile, sensual, and affirming activity that really makes you feel very connected to the universe and to the world around us. And I think it's all good stuff. The serotonin is way up when you garden and garden nude.
You think the day, is it bringing in, do you feel like it's bringing in more naturists to the idea of gardening or bringing more gardeners into the world of naturists? Like, what's that Venn diagram? Have you seen?
Sure. I think most naturists are aware of World Naked Gardening Day. I think some of them will take advantage of it. I've found, I've done a couple of press releases that have been published in the mainstream press. And I think the novelty aspect of World Naked Gardening Day is appealing to many non-naturists. I think it becomes a potential gateway for those who have maybe thought about trying clothes-free activities. It becomes an easy entry point. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have a nudist bed and breakfast in Michigan. And I host quite a few first-timers, people that have never done a clothes-free stay at a resort or at a bed and breakfast before. And, you know, when I talk to them, they say, well, you know, many of these folks will say, you know, we've talked about this for 20 years. We've talked about trying clothes-free living. Or we've talked about going to a nudist resort and we finally taken the plunge. We were here and we're kind of excited about it, you know, and we think this will be fun. And it is. I mean, once they get past that decision point of deciding to try it, they realize, wow, this is transformational. It's reaffirming. It's just liberating. It's wonderful. You know, they just kind of gush about what a great experience living clothes-free is. And I think for non-naturists, the ability to experiment or try out naturism in the privacy of their backyard by digging in the dirt with kind of a realistic application.
I won't tell them.
As it were, of naturist activities is a great entry point. And so I'm personally more excited about bringing non-naturists into the naturist world by getting them to try naked gardening. So that's kind of my bias, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And with naturists, obviously, like you were saying, a lot of them come with a connection to the earth and this desire to sort of be more at one with the world around them. Are there naturists with like brown thumbs who are just terrible at gardening?
Well, naturism does not necessarily imbue you with ability. And probably be one of those with a relative, even though I took a master gardening course, I don't claim to be the best gardener in the world. So, you know, I think that I would certainly encourage naturists to use World Naked Gardening Day as a way to try it again if they've tried gardening and haven't found it as successful as they like. But everybody can try a tomato plant in a container or, you know, a few flowers, whether it's, you know, vegetables or flowers. I'm basically a tree guy. I mostly work on trees. I plant trees, transplant trees. And that's my kind of frame of reference for gardening. But everybody can have their own. And if you're a flower person, the idea of planting your annuals or tending to your perennials in the spring is a great opportunity to do that clothes-free. So, yeah, I don't think, unfortunately, a naturist card does not get you points in the gardening world, but you're so encouraged.
I feel like, though, if you, as long as you go out like into your garden or into your yard, if you bring a chia pet and do a chia pet out there naked, I feel like that can count. And everyone can do a chia pet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See? And so problem solved.
The key, you're right, Heidi. The key is to just get out there. Be out there outdoors. Even if you're just going to rake up some leaves in your lawn, you know, if you can do that, depending on if you've got the privacy to do that. I mean, it's a great way to all of a sudden feel you're outside raking leaves and you're in the spring fresh air and smell that that earthy humus smell that comes about when you rake the yard. I mean, it's just the idea of getting out there, and especially for non-naturists, because there's such an aha moment when they do that. It's like the first time you go skinny dipping and you realize what swimming without a swimming suit is like. It's like a whole different thing. It's not just minus a swimsuit. It's like adding a whole dimension, a sensual dimension to the world of swimming. And only when you try that, you realize how wonderful that is. So we kind of want to apply the same thing to gardening.
Yeah. But no first timers allowed to use any hedge clippers, any lawn mowers, none of that. Because
you got to crawl before you can walk.
You got to crawl before you can walk, yes.
Yeah. What is the kind of ages you're seeing with naturists, both involved in World Naked Gardening Day, but also with your B&B? Is it an older clientele? Is it shifting younger? Do you sense that the understanding, acceptance, practicing of these type of things is growing with younger folks, or does it feel like it's sort of fading into the distance?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And my experience has been that the profile visitor in my shop, and I think that kind of confirms the research, is that folks are and of course, age is kind of relative. For me, I'm a little older, so 40 to 50 years old is not old for me.
Right.
We tend to see couples in their 40s and early 50s quite a bit. That's kind of the profile. And, you know, I think part of it is the fact that a couple of things. Number one, our culture, our American culture, is so imbued with body shame and guilt. It takes a while for people to deal with that. You know, we have young people we have school districts that have canceled PE because they can't get kids to take showers.
Yeah. Right.
It's the kind of paranoia that exists in our culture right now over being naked is just crazy.
Yeah.
And so what I found is that folks, as they get a little older, they're more comfortable with their bodies. They're not as uptight about the notion of what somebody else thinks about their bodies. And they, you know, they will call me or make a reservation and they say, you know what, we've talked about this for a long time. We thought it might be appealing. And you know what, now we don't care what anybody else thinks. Now we're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of takes that level of emotional maturity and kind of getting past all the noise that's in our media about perfect bodies. And you know, I've had people say, you know, is everybody that comes to your place, are they fit? Are they, you know, youthful and, you know, looking like models and so forth? And I said, no, it's everyday people. Mm-hmm. They same body shape as you or me. It's all shapes and sizes. And, you know, naturism is about body acceptance. And the first body you have to accept is your own. Yeah. And it's amazing.
Hardest one.
It's amazing how transformational that concept is. Because when you accept your own body, you're much more likely to accept others. You're much more likely to be less judgmental about other people and their bodies once you're comfortable with the fact that you don't have a perfect body. I don't. None of us do. There are no perfect bodies. And I did an article. I used to write a column for the local paper here, and I frequently write on naturism. And I said, look, the average model is 5'11 and weighs 112 pounds. The average American woman is 5'7 and weighs 140 pounds. Now, how do you reconcile that? We are faced with a continual set of disappointments every time we turn on the TV because we don't look like the people that are on the screen. And that does not help you in terms of your self-image, in terms of your body image, in terms of your self-confidence. It's a huge problem in our society. And the people that suffer most, frankly, are teenage girls. They're the ones that end up being bulimic, that commit suicide, that cut themselves because they don't feel they're measuring up. And one of the tremendous benefits of naturism is that when you face yourself and you accept your body, you accept other people's bodies, you become a much more comfortable person living in our world and being able to stand away from the media stereotypes and say, that's not us, that's not reality, that's television, and we don't need to worry about that. And I think that's one of the most compelling arguments for naturism that anyone can make, is that it helps us accept who we are and be comfortable with who we are in our bodies, in our skin.
And so to that end, it seems like a B&B, like a weekend away, is sort of a perfect, like you said, chance to dip your toe in the water and sort of see, have I reached that level of emotional maturity in some ways?
Right.
But for guests coming to your B&B, what do you got going on there? I saw you just put in, there's a pickleball court, there is bocce, right?
Well, I'm open all year round, so I try to have lots of activities because as I've told other people who have bed and breakfast, my bed and breakfast is not like anyone else's. In a typical bed and breakfast, you show up, put your luggage in your room, and you go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and go to sleep. And the next day you get up and you go out and see the sights. And then you you have breakfast, then you go out and see the sights. And then you come back and, repeat that. At my bed and breakfast, no one goes anywhere. Mm-hmm. They show up, they take their clothes off, and they stay there for the entire weekend. And they don't, as a matter of fact, I've initiated Saturday night dinners because people don't want to put their clothes on and go into town. There's, once you are comfortable living clothes free, it really becomes annoying to have to put your clothes on. And so I have a lot of activities, both indoors and out. I have a pond so people can swim, use a kayak or a paddleboard. They can fish. We have hiking trails. I have a bocce court, a pickleball court, a horseshoe pit. And then indoors, there's a recreation area, an in-home theater, board games, two libraries. I mean, there's a ton of things for people to do. And as a result, people have no interest in going outside or, having to put their clothes on and go anywhere else. And that's my goal. My goal is when people leave on Sunday at noon or early afternoon, they say, do we have to put our clothes on now? And I say, I can only control what happens up to the gate. On your own. But that's my goal. And for a lot of first timers, that's their reaction. They say, we just love living clothes free. We never realized how much of a difference it would make in our environment. And of course, during the summer, just being able to walk in and out of the house without clothes on is just magical. And they walk down, there's an outdoor shower down by the pond, so they can go for a swim, take a shower outdoors, then go for a stroll, come up and play pickleball or whatever. And that's the idea, is give people a sense of what living 360 in a 360 degree environment is, to live clothes free. And ideally, that's what, naked gardening can do, is introduce them to the potential of what living clothes free would look like if you expanded that activity.
Nice. It's amazing.
I feel like I'd still show up with a ton of luggage. Like I wouldn't wear any, it's not about the clothing. I just feel like I'd have too much makeup and brushes. So I'd be the person at the
clothing optional place. This is about accepting yourself, Heidi.
Well, I do. And I would have no problem just hanging out. I just would still show up with luggage. I think I'd be afraid I'd get cold. I don't know. It's weird.
So when do people get nude when they come to the B&B? Do they just walk in? Do they do it at the car? Do they go up to their rooms?
Yeah, I pretty much take people to their rooms and then they change in their rooms. And especially for first timers, that's a more comfortable way to introduce them. Most of the people that are my repeat customers, of which most of my folks are repeat customers, they know exactly what to do. They bring their luggage in, what have you. And it's funny because people don't need a lot of luggage to come to stay at a nudist resort, right? But but sometimes they bring some things, and then they'll change pretty quickly, and they'll be out and down at the pond or walking around pretty quickly. And then first timers, I give them a tour, show them the surroundings, and get them comfortable with the idea. I'm on 40 acres, and then I'm surrounded by 300 acres of wetland. So it's a very isolated, very pristine environment. And once people see that, they're so much more comfortable than deciding to go for a walk on the hiking trails and so forth. So it happens pretty quickly.
Wonderful. Last question from me. You're big on towels, is what I can tell from the website. Yes. Or sitting down and things like that. Yes. Towels are a must.
Right. Yeah, we nudists deal with a lot of towels.
Yes.
Of course, as part of our hygiene protocol, you always sit on a towel. Yes. So we provide basically three sets of towels for every guest. One is to sit on, one is for the beach or the hot tub, and then one is for the bathroom. So three sets of towels. And I go through lots of towels. That's part of the business, and it's fun. And once people realize how that works, they think, "Oh, this is really cool." So I'm going down to the beach. I'll take that towel, and so forth. So yeah, the towel situation is important, and people get it. They pick it up pretty quickly.
World Naked Gardening Day is being held Saturday, May 4th, 2024. Mark your calendars. For more information, check out the website naturisteducation.org/WNGD. And to find out more about the bed and breakfast, nuancebb.us.
Why the Podcast is produced by the Professional Production Company. Please be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because we're shallow and need constant validation. For more information, you can check out our website, whythepodcast.com. And like everyone else, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Today's show was recorded and produced by Heidi Hedquist and myself from our world headquarters located on the second floor of the Professional Office Building, centrally located downtown. Our reluctant executive producers are John Sauve and Sandy Stone. Our willing producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our intern is Zach Jackson. This one's for Philippe. Thanks for joining us. Flash, we're coming home.
Nigel, is that you? Are you here? Nigel?